Parts 1 and 2, and his great book with the same title, just call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
While in Atlanta, Danny Lyon joined the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and acted as staff photographer from 1962 to 1964. His first solo photography book, The Bike Riders, A Study of Outlaw Motorcyclists, was published in 1968. Following his publication of The Bike Riders, Lyon completed documentary work on the Texas prison system. Lyon's work is very personal and gives us, the viewer, access to people and places we wouldn't normally get to see.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Danny Lyon film screening on Wednesday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Danny Lyon will be in Portland to show the films Willie and Murderers. Again, that's the Danny Lyon film screening on Wednesday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This morning at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio looks back on the life of legendary Portland writer Ursula Le Guin. And at 11:30, Art Focus welcomes Tyler Mackey to discuss her new show, Intimate Spaces, a retrospective body of sculpture and two-dimensional work that focuses on the lived female experience. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And now at 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is July 3rd, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, home of decency, democracy, anarchy, and good times. So shall we have a little weather first to get things rolling? Yes, we shall. Partly sunny skies today, gradually starting to burn with a high around 78. And not much in the way of wind. Tonight, again, mostly clear skies, lows around 58. And for tomorrow, we've got looking at a high of around 86 and a northeast wind 6 to 10 miles per hour. For tomorrow night, mostly clear skies and lows around 59, southwest wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. And that is the weather. Over the next couple of days, we're not going to say very much about what tomorrow might bring. Probably a forest fire or two and some burnt fingers, as is always the case with bedazzlement. That said, we're going to be speaking today with James Henry He has been a frequent guest, actually, on Air Cascadia, a leading economist, attorney, consultant, and investigative journalist. He's written and spoken widely on the problems of tax justice and development finance. He can be found on Twitter. He's got a Twitter account, and I'm going to mention this hashtag, submerging markets. It's such a great phrase because we're so used to saying the emerging markets just rolls off the tongue, and you don't realize that submerging markets is rolled off till it's too late. Ah, there it is, bang, right on the table in front of us all. I want to talk a little bit about I want to ask James about how Trump's tariffs. See, Trump's thinking, or whatever he passes for thinking, tends to compartmentalize itself. There's not a lot of communication between one idea and the next. And so when he rolls out this idea of tariffs as yet another display of male aggression, the stamping and snorting and so forth. So when he rolls that out, and he's very pleased with himself, very smug, and he's really going to teach these people a lesson, teach our former allies a lesson. I think they pretty much got the lesson and are responding accordingly. That said, he hasn't thought how the tariffs might, in fact, rebound off of some of his more dubious holdings overseas. We know that he must have a number of one of those mirrored rooms where bank accounts bounce from one bank to another, and with each iteration becoming ever more untraceable. That is a macroeconomic situation. It's an issue, as are tariffs. Really important to be mindful of the distinction between macroeconomics and microeconomics, basically finance, and that exciting edge area where markets bump up against individual markets, bump up against global markets. And of course, the tariffs are going to prance their thing on the global stage. But there will be impact, and Trump is going to feel it. And we wonder if his accountants right now are scrambling to make sure that all the corruption and vagaries of his own financial life are kept well under the thumb. The submerging markets, hashtag submerging markets. So that is, I would guess, is taking place right now. And that's why we are going to try to speak to James today, because whatever bounces back, and it will, of course, always does, from the impact of tariffs, Trump's holdings, and then the markets here in the U.S., boom, that redounds to us. And it will be curious. We may find out more about Trump's financial life than we ever imagined possible. This'll be the Stormy Daniels of market revelations. Transparency not being something that Trump is friendly with, unless it comes in the form of a racy little negligee outfit. Again, hashtag submerging markets. That said, just a little bit of background and just a little bit of update on where we stand at the moment. Trump is also submerging himself, hashtag submerging markets, in the job of choosing a Supreme Court justice to replace Anthony Kennedy. And we know pretty much everyone is engaging in magical thinking. Well, you know, maybe what we refuse to vote for Hillary. We decided to really, you know, really send a message to Washington and stand up for what we believe in. And this is a real election, and it's all real. Oh, this is not a real election, and too late now. Horses out of the barn. Horses, in fact, running rampant across the global economies and the U.S. Judicial system, such as it is. So, I think it is safe to assume that Donald Trump will nominate the most grotesquely conservative, incompetent ignoramus that he can possibly find. Keeping in mind, he didn't find them himself. He knows nothing about the judicial system, nothing. And here he will go blundering directly into it. Of all things, our Supreme Court. Do we really fully realize what we've lost? At least 100-150 years of very hard uphill work is gone, and it's going to take a lot more than that to restore it. And that is assuming that we really are capable of pulling together as a nation for the time that it takes to rebuild what we've lost. And step number one is really understanding what it is we have lost and how it impacts every other department in which these travesties have occurred. We are now in with regard to our traditional allies, we've got NAFTA. See, you don't get to see my notes, so you don't get to see where I've written. Well, you can. I'm going to show you right now. NAFTA, NATO, and NITWIT. Donald, we hear in mainstream media, and everybody sighs and says, oh, thank God they're still around, and talking about Donald Trump as though he was a real president and understood what the job of being the president, and he also understood what NAFTA actually is, and that he understood what NATO actually is. It would seem that Donald Trump has no clue as to what these institutions are, or what they do, and how we function. That said, he's going to be renegotiated NAFTA, and he hasn't fully comprehended that the new Prime Minister of Mexico, President of Mexico, is Obrador, and a very, very staunch anti-corruption leftist. Wow, it couldn't have been better. If that isn't political karma, I don't know what is. So Mexico now. Our trading partner par excellence, and one of the nations that Donald Trump has managed to thoroughly insult in every possible way. Now we're renegotiating a delicate trade partnership with Mexico. We'll see how that works out. That'll be very interesting. Whereas Donald Trump very likely imagines himself going for another term, and by that, make no mistake, he probably will be reelected. Really, understand that. This is true. He has, if not a majority, he's got followers who will fight to the death for him, and the opposition is so fragmented and so sure that it's right in every way. That there's no hope here. We are constantly sending egotistical messages that we think really have an impact, not realizing that the entire structure of government has changed. We don't have elections. These aren't elections. We have trade wars playing themselves out on the international stage, but at home we have market wars playing themselves out on social media, where we're inundated with messages demanding or instructing us to buy this candidate or that candidate, and we're failing to realize what the picture really is, and it's just so different. It's almost impossible. It's the classic situation where we only see the small part that's right in front of us, and we don't comprehend the enormity of the whole. We will have James Henry on to talk a little bit more about this. But the changes that take place now in a day, in a week, are phenomenal. Nothing like this has ever happened. And even our traditional allies are in awe at what Trump has wrought. This has been Air Cascadia 4. Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. Judy Feistel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Derek Cooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Hunter. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
When I tell people I'm a volunteer, they say, well, that must be very